What if this fire that I have died? What if I wake up and that fire is gone because I didn't put kindling on it? I didn't fan the flame. I didn't stoke the fire. What if it died? The thought of me waking up and that flame just being gone and wondering, like, what if I would have just gone after it, or worse, becoming an old, angry old man that's pissing on the next generation and saying, just, that's a stupid dream. Like, wait till life kicks your ass. Like, that's not how life is. Like, the idea of that turning into me, like the fear of that being the path that I was going towards, scared the hell out of me. And that fear is what swallowed the smaller fear of, am I good enough?
I've always felt immense fear.
I was born with cerebral palsy.
I have always felt small.
I was told not to take risks.
I may be blind, but I teach people how to see.
And I'm proud to be an individual.
This podcast is for you, the unconventional leader.
Maybe you are the one that everyone discounted.
Maybe you struggle with fear and self-doubt.
We are here to empower the next generation of self-starters to step up,
use their voice,
and make an impact in this world.
You're listening to the Unconventional Leaders.
Hey, welcome to today's episode. If this is your first time listening, hello. My name is Heather Parody, and I am your host. Guess what? I have some big news for you. Are you ready? Are you ready? We have Calvin Wayman with us today. I am such a fan of Calvin's. I absolutely love his content. If you remember episode 01, we had him to actually just launch this show because I love his message. This interview you're about to hear is actually repurposed from a summit that I hosted last year on the topic of imposter syndrome. Have you heard that term? I'm sure you have, especially if you are in the entrepreneurial self-help space. But it's this idea of, who am I to do this? I don't have the qualifications. I don't have this. I don't have that, et cetera, et cetera. It's fear. It's doubt. It's criticism that we put on ourselves. We are so hard on ourselves. I don't know about you, but I know I am. And this idea of imposter syndrome has kind of been hot over the past few years. And so we had a summit that just dug into the entire topic. And Calvin was one of our speakers. And although it is about a year old, I've never shared this with you guys. And everything that he shares is something that I believe is timeless. How to hack courage, how to do things that scare you, make you nervous, how to do things that you know deep down you're called to do, but you for some reason keep putting off. If any of that resonates with you, you're going to love today's episode. Hey, and one last thing before we get started on this interview. If you are a content creator, maybe you have a blog, a podcast, a YouTube channel, or maybe you're thinking about starting one, but you struggle with consistency. I tell you, I understand, because it is a lot more work than people think. But it's so important to be consistent so we can spread our messages to the people that we're trying to reach. So I created a free course for you. It is all about consistency with your content and building in systems and processes that make sure that you are deliberate with your production and staying on course with your work. You can grab that course by going to heatherparody.com/free course, or you can text content to 345-345. Again, that is content at 345-345.
I am, I guess, an entrepreneur would be the best way to describe me. I'm getting a little bit more into writing, a little bit of speaking. My biggest passion right now is helping people, helping families get out of debt, and helping entrepreneurs get their money right so they can make the impact that they're meant to make. So that's kind of my big focus. Now, where I come from is I'm just a new kid on the block in so many ways still. It's just been 3 years since I quit my day job and jumped all into this entrepreneur thing. So anything that you've seen on my website or my Facebook, it's just been in the last 3 years.
That's incredible.
And Yeah, something that a lot of people don't quite know about me that I'm coming up and opening up a little bit more about is like where I come from. And that is that I have four moms. So I actually come from a polygamous family. Grew up with four moms, single dad in the same house with literally dozens of brothers and sisters. And I'm a first generation, I guess, entrepreneur in that, first kid out of my entire family that went to college. It was just a very tight-knit, loving, but yet kind of bubbly environment that I grew up in because I was just homeschooled my entire life. And while I'm no longer part of that religion and the whole environment that I grew up in, I love my upbringing and it has kind of propelled me in the way of like being an entrepreneur. And so I've just kind of over the last couple of years and even over the last year especially, just been stepping more into building my own life and not just saying, well, these were my circumstances, therefore I have to accept them. Just saying, okay, these are my circumstances, but what do I actually feel called to do? What's my dream? What's my fire? And being scared out of my mind, feeling like an imposter and not knowing what to do, but taking a step anyway. So that's really what I've been after.
Man, I hear you. I was homeschooled too my whole life.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, something. We could talk about that. But anyway, well, first of all, congratulations on just what you've built in 3 years. Unless you would have told me that, I would never would have guessed. That's incredible.
Thank you.
But when you hear that term, I know it's kind of a hot word or hot term right now, imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. What comes up for you? Like when you think that, what's your definition for that?
I don't belong. Like there's several things that like I've been triggered by it so many times, and especially because it's only been 3 years since I quit my day job. It's happened like so many times. It's been like a general feel in some sense, but then there's been like specific like moments.
Yeah.
Excuse me, where I felt that. But what it feels like to me is it usually comes down to a feeling of worthiness or questioning my worthiness.
Mm.
You know, like stepping into something and you're like, who am I to say that I am an entrepreneur? Who am I to say that I'm going to start a social media business? Who am I to say I'm going to write a book? And who the hell is going to read the book? Who am I to call myself, say I'm a speaker? Who's going to want to buy any of my stuff? That's usually what it comes to, is that I found in myself is rooted in this feeling of like, I'm so new. I don't know what the F I'm doing. Like, am I worthy of what I'm actually pursuing? That's what it feels like.
So break that down even further for me. Where does that come from? Why do we deal with that?
That's a good question. I don't know if I've gone much deeper than finding that that's the root feeling, mm-hmm. because a lot of people usually target the surface stuff like gaining more skills so that they don't feel the imposter syndrome, taking different courses and books, and that's cool. But the deepest I think I've gone is realizing that it's coming from the place of feeling unworthy. So the question is, where does that come from?
Exactly.
I'm not sure I have a solid answer, but I do feel like it was learned.
Mm.
But what I mean is, I don't think, in some ways I think it's human, but I think if like I have kids now and I look at my little kids and like I have a 4-year-old boy and almost 1-year-old, and it was really cool to see the 4-year-old learn new things. And I'm seeing it again with my baby girl, like she's doing new stuff every single day and she doesn't stop and think for a second, oh, I can't do that. I'm not good enough. Yeah. So where does that come from? It has to come from your environment and things that you learned, and maybe how people taught you to cope, how society or family taught you to cope with success. And I think everybody's thing is different, but if I was going to tell it specific to me, it was more than likely due to the religious structure that I was born into, because it was very conservative and very clear cut. Like, this is the path to heaven. This is the path to this. Anything outside of that, you're going to hell. The default was you're bad.
Yeah.
And this is what you have to do to be good. And so it was a big emphasis on that. And it took, like years later of realizing, no, I think if I follow my natural path, like that is where goodness is going to come from. Like I'm already good in my core. So yeah, I think it can be a lot of things, but certainly a mix of your environment and what you were taught growing up.
Yeah, I agree. So walk me through with your process of quitting everything and jumping in full time. I'm assuming you dealt with this imposter syndrome, kind of scared out of your mind. Walk me through, like, what did you do to prep yourself from that and actually follow through?
I did something that I think is counterintuitive to what is taught in the success literature, especially around motivation and stuff like that. In some ways it is. If you dig deep and really understand what Tony Robbins is saying, for example, on different parts, I think you'll get this. But I think a lot of people say, well, when you are trying to do something like fulfill the calling of your soul and actually take a step, how do you get yourself to do it when you feel like you're afraid? And I think a lot of the answers that people say are, well, you need to have a big why. Like you need to have the thing that you're going after. And I think that's important. I had a why, but here's the truth, Heather. Yes, I've done this for the last 3 years, but that was that when I'm 30 right now. So I was 27 when I finally made the leap. I was thinking about it every single day from like 22. So for 5 years, it was like a slow burn. Like it was like, Come on, Calvin. You're going to do this. What, like, do it. Come on. Oh, but what if you mess up? Holy shit. What if you ran out of money? Ah, you are married now. You have a wife to take care of. Oh, you have a baby on the way. Holy crap. Dude, you better do it. You better not. Like there was that back and forth.
That's real.
Like a lot for 5 years. So what made me finally come to a head and be able to have the courage to take the leap? Well, what it was not just a big why. I had plenty of why. Like I wanted to have freedom. I wanted to be a good example to my family. I wanted to have a good life for them. And I wanted to fulfill the calling of my soul. But where it really came to is one day, call it a random day. It was yet another day where I was unfulfilled in my day job. And was kind of like trying to ruminate over whether I should quit and what I was going to do. And that day, I ended up projecting myself 10 years in the future. Hmm. And it was an interesting moment because I don't know where this type of thing came from, but I basically had a conversation with my 10-year older self. Mm-hmm. So I was 27, so my 37-year older self. And he's older, I was imagining, because he's 10 years older. So I was like getting advice from my 10-year older self, like, what should I do? And things of that nature. And I was like, what should I do? Should I stay in my day job and try to climb? Like, when should I quit? What should I do here? And my 10-year older self essentially said, Calvin, as you get older, or as we get older, we are going to have more responsibility in life, not less. So if you're ever going to do it, why not do it now?
That's good.
And then after that, I also had a visual, and this is where it got really like powerful and scary at the same time. I imagined myself waking up in 10 years and nothing has changed in my life.
Yeah.
Or worse, I woke up imagining that what if this fire that I have to go out and make a difference in the world, to go make an impact. What if this fire that I have died? What if I wake up and that fire is gone because I didn't put kindling on it? I didn't fan the flame. I didn't stoke the fire. What if it died? The thought of me waking up and that flame just being gone. And wondering like, what if I would have just gone after it, or worse, becoming an old, angry old man that's pissing on the next generation and saying, just that's a stupid dream. Like, wait till you, wait till life kicks your ass. Like, that's not how life is. Like, the idea of that turning into me, like the fear of that being the path that I was going towards scared the hell out of me.
That's it.
And that fear is what swallowed the smaller fear of, am I good enough? What if I mess up? What if I fail? The fear of that, of me going against my soul and waking up and not even having the fire anymore, was the thing that got me moving and say, screw it, I'm going to quit. I'm quitting my day job. And that's what I did. Not necessarily recommending people just cold turkey quit their day job when they have a wife and a 1-year-old and a lot of debt and stuff like that. But for me, it's kind of what I needed to fully commit and be like, I'm going to put my back up against the wall and burn the boats and I'm not looking back. I'm just going to move forward.
That's real.
So that's what it was. It was not just the why, it was actually a bigger fear. So it was using fear against itself. The fear, the bigger fear swallowing the smaller fear.
Hey guys, we're going to take a quick break so I can share with you about Help One Now. You may remember back in episode 52, I interviewed Chris Marlowe, their founder, and I'm super excited to get behind their work this year. And I want to invite you to join me. Help One Now has a program called Family Empowerment, where they go into impoverished areas in Ethiopia and help families start their own businesses. How cool is that? You and I know the power of entrepreneurship and small business and that it has the potential to change the course of people's lives. And this program has a 95% success rate and can help families increase their income by 500%. And this show is all about making an impact. So I thought it would be so cool for this year, while you and I work to grow our own businesses, we also help these families grow theirs. You can go over to heatherparity.com/helponenow or click the link in the show notes to find out more information. All right, back to the interview.
So that, those are some tangible things that people can do. What you just said is, you know, having that conversation with your future self, thinking about the what if. Are there other practical tools that you think people can use to kind of develop, for lack of better terms, courage to walk through this stuff?
There's an exercise that again, there's a few that I've just randomly thought of. In fact, I was just doing it right before this call. There's something that I do that this is also a very tangible practice that anybody can do. So this is actually kind of fun. I feel like we have like at least two voices in our head.
At least
we have the voice that is like, that's afraid, that has the imposter syndrome, that feels anxious and depressed at times. But then there's this other calmer, wiser voice that's like the wisdom. And that's kind of the version of myself that I call my 10-year-old self. It's the one that is like there for your soul. Generally, this voice is the louder one, like the fear-based thing. You have this conflict. You're wondering like what to listen to. Like, should I follow my fears and anxieties and the things that scare the hell out of me? Should I listen to what it like feels right, but I'm not exactly quite sure what to do? And how do you tap into one or the other? Like, one thing that I do that is such a fun exercise for me is I get two pens, a black one and a red one. And literally what I'll do is I will start having a conversation with those two different sides. So this is actually kind of fun. Like this, like just kind of how I had it came out of like that random experience 3 years ago, actually, where I predicted myself 10 years in the future and had that conversation with my 10-year-old self. So what I will literally do is write down in like black, like my problem or what I'm thinking. And then in red, kind of like the answer to that. Like it is such a fun exercise, my friend. Like this is literally one that I just did. Like, do you want me to read it? Like it's,
yeah. 'Cause
I was like, So I'm always trying to find ways to feel more like stepping into my power. So in my black pen, I'm like, sometimes I still feel worried and feel down. And in my red pen, it says, that's to be expected. Black pen. I mean, I can feel scared because of external things. Like, what if I run out of money? Like these types of fears. And my red pen says, so you're saying you're human. Black pen, I guess so. Red pen, older, wiser pen. I'm curious, have you ever scheduled time to be anxious, depressed, or worried? And I'm like, scheduled it? Like on my calendar? Yes, that's what I mean. Of course not. And why not? Why would I schedule time to be anxious or depressed? Why would I? Like, I don't particularly like it when I'm feeling anxious or depressed. It's not productive. Ah, bingo. There we go. That's why you haven't scheduled it on your calendar. It's not productive. Yes, I guess I haven't thought of it that way before. It makes sense because I can see that those things actually take away from being more productive. Yes, they can. They break up productivity and can create their own self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah, like I'm worried if I won't that I won't make money. So that makes me feel worried and anxious, which then hinders my work and actually makes a self-fulfilling prophecy of not making enough money. Yeah. Precisely. Wow, sneaky. They can be. So I can see that anxiety, depression, and worry, et cetera, are all things that can that I don't schedule because they're not productive, obviously. But sometimes they pop up unexpectedly. If I'm feeling anxious, worried, or depressed, what can I do to snap out of it? What can I do to get through, to be more productive and not be frozen by them? This is the part you're going to like. Red Pen says, that's a great question. Before we have that conversation, do you have an interview coming up? Yes, I sure do. It's in 5 minutes. Okay, why don't you take care of that first and then you can come back to this. Okay, deal. That's literally how that is ended.
I love that. I've never heard or seen that before. That's incredible.
Totally off the cuff. So that's something that has literally helped me come out of the craziest of times, like where I'm feeling so low and just ready for a bounce back because I'm still human. Yes, I've been able to do some cool stuff like speak on stages in front of 2,200 people, not 22,000, 2,200. Write for Entrepreneur Magazine, have my book and running my business and stuff like that. But I'm still this regular dude that's going through life and has this imposter stuff.
Yeah.
And this has been a tool that helps me quite a bit with that. And I'm still doing it because like the imposter syndrome doesn't just disappear. It's like anytime you become, I guess, what I call a fish out of water and do something new for the first time, you're going to feel it. And right now I feel it a little bit, honestly, with this new passion I have with helping families get out of debt.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's not a problem that's completely taken care of. There's still 70-something% of people that live paycheck to paycheck. Like less than a third of people have more than $500 saved up. And so I know it's a problem. But when I think about doing it, I'm like, but who are you, Calvin? There's Dave Ramsey that has 40 years plus experience on this. He knows way more than you. There's the author of the book, Profit First, that's been doing it. There's all of these people at CNN and all these money people that have do this for a living. How are you going to make a difference? Yeah. So I still have that stuff, but I'm working through it. And that's a good reminder that I think that's a takeaway there is, when you have that imposter syndrome and you need to practice courage, courage isn't loud and this, it isn't always this loud, crazy voice like this just charging. Sometimes courage, most of the time, is like this quiet, timid, I don't know if I can do this. And you take a lean in anyway. So that's what I try to continue to do.
That's so good. I appreciate you sharing that because I know a lot of people think, you know, oh, when you reach this level of success, you just don't deal with it anymore. But really, it's just another door and another fear. So
we are all human. That's absolutely true.
100%. So for our very last question, if people are resonating with what you're saying and they want to connect with you, I know you have a book, you have a podcast, right? Where can people find you online and connect with you?
The very best place to find me is my website, calvinwayman.com. If you're wanting to check out like the podcast and stuff like that. Everything's there. Mm-hmm. I'm also very active on social media. So wherever you're hanging out, if people are hanging out on Facebook or Instagram, very easy to get a hold of me just through a DM. Some people still do email more than anything. So if you want to reach out to me, email, like if there's something that you're stuck on or something you want to share, if there's something that resonated here, you can reach me, calvinwayman@gmail.com.
Awesome. I'll have all that linked up. Calvin, our last question, why does any of this even matter? When no one would blame you to take the leap, why does it matter?
Oh man, I love that question. Because it matters to you. Like, you know, like that's the thing. I think that's what you come to at the end of the end of it all. You know, like there's that calling in you. Like, that's the thing. Like, just how, like when I could have stayed at my day job, climbed the corporate ladder and been respected among my peers, but I would have known, like at the end, that like deep down, I'm like, but I had the fire. I had the desire. I just didn't act. Or at the end of my life, like being an old man, always wondering like, what if, you know? And they say that some of the biggest regrets in life aren't the things that you did. They're almost always things that you didn't do. Yeah. You were afraid to do, either because of the voices in your own head or the voices of those around you and opinions that of people that don't really matter anymore at that point. And so I think that's why it matters. The other side of this is, I think true fulfillment comes through following your calling and coming to a point of contribution.
Yes.
So you have to start from a place of what lights you up, because you can't pour out of an empty cup. I talk about this all the time because people ask me, how do you do this with a family and stuff like that? And I'm like, the very best thing I can do for my family is follow my calling. Even if that means traveling and everything like that. Like, if I'm dead inside a little bit because I have to have a day job to make an income, like that might make money this paycheck, but over a lifetime, it's soul death, soul suicide.
Yes.
So that might mean being focused, traveling for 2 weeks at a time and stuff like that, but it will light me up, give them an example to follow their passion, but then also puts me in a position that over the lifetime, I can make a big impact and contribute in a larger way.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you have not subscribed yet, please head over to iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts and hit that subscribe button. And also, if you have a second, leave us a review. Lastly, we have a private Facebook group. If you are looking for a tribe of like-minded leaders who are unconventional in their approach, but dedicated to making an impact, head over to Facebook and type in Unconventional Leaders, and we will be sure to add you. You guys have a great week.